Reading this evening is from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, we come before a mighty King, the one who reigns, the one who is glorified and exalted, the only one who is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. We come before a holy God. Lord, how unworthy we are, how foolish we are in our sins and dead in our trespasses. And yet we come because of Christ, the one who laid down his life for unworthy sinners. The mystery where the justice of God has met the love of God, that the righteous one would be crucified so that sinners would be made righteous. Lord, we come before this good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and humbled by it. And we ask that Christ would be glorified this evening, that his name would be exalted, that all sinners would come to taste and see their wretchedness and wickedness. And by tasting the wretchedness of it all, that we would come to the blessedness of Christ and taste and see that the Lord is good. So Lord, wouldn't you cause our appetites to hunger for heaven, that our souls would be satisfied by feeding upon Christ and him alone. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we are starting a new study in the book of Romans, I think it is fitting for us to really consider the verse 1. It's a good start. Normally, in an introduction, you go through all the introductory remarks and all of those things. But my hope is that we'll go right into the text to understand there is no need for introduction for the book of Romans. It is the word of God to you from Paul to the church in Rome that you are to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason for that is because Paul does not waste any words. As he identifies himself, he begins with this understanding that all of this is for the gospel of God. So I shall do the same. Verse 1, he says this, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. My first question that I want us to think about, consider, is this one. What is your identity? Who are you? What are you? How do you identify yourself? That's been a big theme in past, really, a couple years. But in reality, it's been a big theme for past maybe 100, 150 years or so. This question of identity. It's been something that people have been asking for a very long time. But the whole concept in the modern understanding of identity goes back to maybe 150 years. It's pretty new to human understanding. What is it? Who are we? And yet, this has swept through, and now we come to this question of how do we identify ourselves? There's various ways the world wants to identify themselves by their sexual, what they call sexual orientation, to whom they are attracted to sexually, or how you identify your gender, or what gender is. And we're questioning all of these things about humanity. Who are we? Or even before some of these more radical things, there was this question of what class am I? The upper class, the middle class, the lower class, this class system. There's this question of economics and where do I fit in the category of these things, or workers and capitalists, and There's all these distinctions between people, race and the color of our skin. All of these identities we are to ask, and we've been asking, and in one sense, even though these are very modern concepts, that there are these ancient ideas. Who are we? Is a question that Scripture is trying to answer as well. And Paul here begins to identify himself, and he says, Paul, as he's writing this letter, he says, I am a servant, a slave. He identifies himself as a slave. He doesn't identify himself as something great and grandiose, but a simple servant, a bond servant, a person who belongs to somebody else, who's a possession of another, who's property of another. The one whose will is subjugated under a will of other. The one whose whole purpose is to fulfill the desires of another person. That's what a servant is. That's what a slave is. That in ancient times that there were rights given to the slaves, but it is subservient to the will of the master. As long as certain human rights that were granted to the servant, as long as the master does not violate his life, his meals, his sustenance, his humanity, as long as those things were not violated, he had no rights, for he belonged to another being. And as such, Paul identifies himself as a servant, as a slave. That's a dangerous world in America today, isn't it? And yet that's what he says he is. In reality, he was actually free. A freest person in that culture because he was a Roman citizen. He had the citizenship of the greatest empire the world has ever seen. The moment he goes out and shows his passport, Roman citizen, he can go in anywhere. No one can stop him. And yet, the way he identifies himself to the church in Rome is not that I'm a Roman citizen, just as you are, but rather he says, I'm a servant, a slave. And the word slave is not a popular word today, and it was never back then either. Matter of fact, if one thing Romans hated was to be a slave, and to be a free Roman citizen was the glory of Rome. Because they were good at enslaving every humankind on earth. So for Paul to declare himself a servant, a slave, is a powerful statement. Matter of fact, the scripture is pretty clear that we're all slaves. We're all bound. We all grant and give allegiance to another. If there is one way to really identify ourselves in modern, past, present, and future, is really we're slaves. Now, we don't like that term. And yet, it is very true, isn't it? We're very slaves to certain movements and ideas and thoughts that's rampant around our world. It's very ironic, isn't it? The modern era where we have divested of all the things and all the bondages and we have freed ourselves from all these things, so we thought, in our modern time, and yet we have enslaved ourselves, entangled ourselves into death and destruction. The Enlightenment thinking, the modern era, the great elevation of human knowledge and wisdom and power, what we can achieve with our own hands, the opportunities are right before us and we can do anything and everything, the science of it all. And yet, past centuries have been most detrimental and destructive century that mankind has ever seen. Of all the previous generations, all the death and of war and destruction, combine all that together, of all of human society, comes not even close to the death and destruction of past 100 years. Have we freed ourselves? Or have we actually put a handcuff on ourselves in the name of freedom, that we are actually more bound, more enslaved than ever before? The real question that Paul is asking here is whose slave you are. That's the most important thing, isn't it? To whom do you belong to? That is the most important question that Scripture presents all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. For young people here who does not read the Bible regularly, or people who have not had a chance to read the whole Scripture, my recommendation is read from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. If you read 14 chapters a day, you can read the entire Bible in 3 months. 14 chapters a day. About 3 hours, if you're a slow reader like me. 3 months. Then you can read the whole Bible 4 times. I know some of you have a lot of time in your hands, so you can do that, right? But let's say you read about 4 chapters a day, you can read the entire Bible and New Testament twice and some twice. How about 4 chapters? Once a year, if you live 50 years, you read the whole Bible from cover to cover 50 times. That's not a lot. But the reality is, if you look at Genesis all the way to Revelation, there's one theme. There's many themes that goes through, and one of the themes is the people of God and people who are not of God. Have you ever noticed that? There are people of God who belong to God. It comes all the way from Genesis 1. And in following, the children, the sons of Adam and Eve, their two sons, Cain and Abel, they're two distinctive people groups, and it comes forth over and over and over. How God chooses one over the other, and one belongs to God, and the other belongs to Satan. And when he comes to Christ, he makes this distinction, a very clear distinction between sheep and goats. And the book of Revelation speaks of those who stand before the throne of heaven on the day of great judgment. And God will divide the sheep and the goats and declare to the sheep, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And declare to the goats, "Oh, you wicked, your end is just and right." Entire heavenly hosts would praise God for the just judgment of the wretched wicked. There's a huge distinction of the blessedness and condemnation. And I wish I can tell you something else. I wish I can tell you, Bible doesn't say that, but and yet it does. Clearly, if there's one thing that's clear, is this. That there is a day of judgment. And the question is, whose slave are you? That's the most important identity you must come to grips with. Paul says this, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. You know what Paul says? "I'm a slave to Christ." You see, the life of Paul, has not been the way. In the very beginning of his life, when you look at the book of Acts, when he first comes out, he is not a man who was a slave of Christ. He was a man in his own right, in his own ways. Matter of fact, Paul was a leader in his culture. He was recognized and respected. He was a religious leader. He was very well respected, even at young age, because he was very studious. He had probably a PhD from one of the most prestigious schools, and he was well-learned, he was well-received, well-spoken of. Everybody loved him and respected him. He had the education and the degree. That was who he was, his identity. But that wasn't it. That wasn't just all of it. He was also a religious leader. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know what a Pharisee is? Now we have a Pharisee is a very negative term today, but Pharisee at that particular time was a man who lived rightly. A Pharisee is the one who read the Scriptures and study the Scriptures, not only to understand it, but to apply it and to live it out to the tittle of it. An example, if I may give it to you, the fourth commandment, "Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. Thou shalt have rest." Some of the things that Pharisee would do is that they had a question. Okay, is drinking water work? Very important question. They say, well, if you're Adam's apple, makes a full motion, that's work. I don't know how they drink water. But they'll drink it in a way that is not work. You see, they went to the tittle of it. They went to the minute details to be right before God. to walk according to the way of the Lord. They went to every detail possible. And the commentaries they take of these words and the way they discuss with each other, it's incredible to the depth of their studies. Not only to have an understanding, the goal of Pharisee is to put it into practice and live it out. Pharisees are the most righteous of the group. Everybody respected them, not only because of the degrees and intelligence and understanding of the word they had, but also the way they lived. Paul later declares in Philippians that according to the righteousness, according to the law, blameless. He says, ever since I was youth, I lived blamelessly. Not only Paul was able to identify himself as a well-educated and respected man in the culture, but also a religious man, but also he had the pedigree. He was a Benjamite, one of the two tribes that could bring their lineage all the way back to Abraham. One of the very few who can go all the way back, really, to Adam himself. That he can say, I am a Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Meaning his dad was a Pharisee, was a Benjamite, and they intermarried within Benjamite tribe, and he was a Jew of the Jews. He had the blood, a pure blood. He had the pedigree. Just think about all of this. For Jewish people, bloodline matters. Their genealogy matters. Scripture is full of genealogy after genealogy. And it matters so significantly for them. Because if you look at Nehemiah, book of Nehemiah, for example, or Ezra, when they were trying to have the Levites serve in the temple, some did not have their genealogy right, and they said, you cannot serve in the temple of the Lord. For them, being able to trace back to their fathers and fathers and fathers and fathers, that was so important and significant because it really shouted to the world how pure their blood is. If you're to the genetic test of Paul, it would have been 100% Jewish. You see this man. He had the education. He had the privilege of a Roman citizenship. He had a religious life, well-respected, blameless, living a good and righteous life. Pedigree that can trace all the way back to Abraham. And yet he declares himself slave of Christ. But he didn't get there overnight. You see, he begun as a slave to the culture, slave to himself. His own, if I want to pull it this way, his own righteousness was his enslavement. He loved how righteous he was. He loved his pedigree. He loved his degree. He was righteous in his own ways. He was a slave of himself and to the world and all the things that's right about the world. And that's how our world is today, isn't it? I'm so glad out on the social media. I'm so glad when Facebook came out, and I remember my friends are making Facebook accounts, and they're like, oh, Facebook is so cool. I was like, nah. I remember I went to Rwanda, and I was talking to somebody. He said, hey, what's your Facebook? I said, Facebook? You don't even have electricity here. How do you know Facebook? It was like 15 years ago. The social media, it's crazy. And yet our generation, with all these technologies, bound to it. Bound to this whole idea of celebrity and culture and being right and all these crazy things that's going around. As Paul was bound to his culture and his time, what it means to be a Jewish man, and he was excellent in all of his ways. And so it is in our culture, in all of celebrity culture, in its various places, it's a similar way. And even in Christianity, in Christian circles, we do the same thing, don't we? How I can up the other one. And how can I up the other one? And want to be seen and recognized. And we best ourselves. It's tragic. Even pastors do the same thing. You get together and you know what you talk about? What school you went to. What position of theology you're in. what your view is on this and that. And we talk about it for hours. I love talking about those things. But sometimes it's kind of like, oh, we're not them. Have you ever heard this? Oh, I'm not like those people. And what's funny is if you go to the other side, they're like, oh, we're not like them. Divide and you talk about who? This guy is so good. And have you heard of him? Have you heard him preach? Have you heard his music? Have you heard this? Have you done this? Have you seen it? We live in this bondage, even to religion, even to the things that are good. For Paul, the biggest bondage that he had, that you will see in the book of Romans, is his own righteousness. The bondage of sin. And if the scripture is any clear on this, all of this, if you look at the book of Galatians, is very clear. It's really enslavement to the devil, to sin. A simple way of putting it for Romans, he's going to say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this is where Paul came out of. All of his religiosity, all of his prestige, and all of his righteous living, his bloodline, his pedigree, he would say, all of that was of this world. All of that was sin. All of his suffering. If you look at Philippians, he talks about how he suffered for the gospel. Isn't it interesting? We live in an age that speaking of our suffering is a big thing. How much I suffered. And that makes me superior to another. It's crazy. It's weird. The brokenness of our lives. How broken I am. And people come out and so blatantly speak of all the craziness they've done. And yet they declare to the world, you must accept me, for I deserve it all. Why am I going through all of this? To declare to you one thing, enslaved to the world. But Paul, when on the Damascus road to fulfill his desire of persecuting the church, whom he has considered as the most wicked, the one who deserves to be jailed and even stoned and killed. Matter of fact, Paul himself took part in stoning of Stephen. And on their road to Damascus, he encounters the Lord Jesus Christ. And that changed everything about him. It didn't happen immediately, certainly. As drastic, as powerful as that was, it took some time for him to grow in the knowledge of Christ. But as now he's writing his letter to Rome, as he is looking forward to visiting the place, even though he's now bound in chains, ironically. And yet, he says, I am bound in chains to Christ. That's his identity. He's not bound. He's not a slave of the world, the devil, and sin. But he declares, I'm a slave. I'm a servant of Christ Jesus. Who are you? Are you slave of the world? Have you self-examined this evening? Where are you? Or where is your heart? To whom do you belong to? To whom are you a slave of? And he declares, he's a servant of Christ. I'm going to go all the way to the end for the gospel of God. Why is he a slave to Christ? For the gospel of God. How did he become no longer a servant and slave of sin, death, and Satan, and the world and sin? And how was he transferred his ownership from there to Christ? It all begins there and ends there, and for the gospel of God. For the good news of God. The good news of God is this, that you and I were dead in trespasses. That we were bound to Satan. That our end was toward this destruction. That we belong in hell. That's our destiny. But the gospel of God is this, that God had mercy on unworthy sinners. That God decided, looking from heaven, looking from eternity past, He looked at the brokenness of the world, and He has declared in Himself, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to save. And sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in place of sinners. To take the wrath and the punishment of God that's deserving of the slaves and the servants of Satan. And to become a curse. So that, as Christ died on our behalf and rose again, He has rescued us and delivered us from the power and the grips of the world, the sin and devil, and made us His own. That we belong to Christ. The only way to come to Christ is because of Christ. It's because Christ died. It's not because I chose Him, but because He chose me and died on the cross for me. Because He laid down His life. It's not that I initiated and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. No, rather, Christ was willing to show His mercy. He laid down His life for the slaves of the world to rescue us, to make us the slaves of heaven. And we're slaves of Christ for the gospel of God. Not only by it, but for it. You're slaves to it. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very reason Paul is bound as a slave. Right here, right now, he's going to Rome, bound in chains. And all of this is to proclaim the gospel of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The entire letter is written, an entire life of Paul as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ was for this very purpose, to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. For that gospel of God, that good news, that there is salvation, that there is God who has come to rescue us and make us His own. What a good news this is. And all of this is not that we've done anything. Matter of fact, we've done everything but to get us in more trouble. Have you ever... The other day, a couple months ago, I was at a youth camp. And one of the youth camp games is this messy games. I cannot give you all the details because you're going to throw up, but it's really messy. I mean, it's messy, slippery, and everything is just disgusting and vile. And they have this puddle of goo, and they throw you in there, and you're in there. And as you're trying to get out, and other people are being thrown in there, and you're just, as you're trying to get out, you're just getting more dirty. As you're trying to get up, you're getting more stuck. And you're stuck. And you're stuck. And you're just like, help, please. And that's how this bondage to sin is. As we try to free ourselves, the reality is we're more bound by, we're stuck in it, and we cannot get out. And in the midst of it, the Christ came into our mess. And He died on our place to make us His own. To free us from bondage of sin. To bind us of Christ. For He is good. And He is worthy. Let me tell you something. Would you serve Satan or would you serve Christ? The call this morning is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the good news. And all we have to do is just simply trust. Receive Him and rest in Him. What a good news this is. For the gospel of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We're so grateful for this gospel truth, that even though we're unworthy, even though we deserve hell, Christ died for sinners. Oh, Lord, what a true that statement is, and how powerful that statement is. Oh, Lord, our burden has been cast away all because of Him. because we belong to Him, all because of what He's done. Oh, we ask that You would draw us to Yourself, that You would awaken us from our slumber, that we may turn to Christ and find life, that we may turn to Christ once again this evening and find rest for our soul, that we're no longer the slaves of this world, but we're slaves to our risen King, who is only good to His people. We ask that You be glorified in our lives. And Lord, as we bring Your tithes and our offerings as a token and of our gratitude and appreciation that even our things that we belong to us, that they do not belong to us but belong to You. And as we bring them, we ask that You use it for Your glory, that even the lost sinners of this world would find new master in Christ, that they would become new creation in Him. We thank You for who You are. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.